extreme risk order, another word, another term for red flag laws. And joining us now from New Haven, Connecticut, is Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, who has been working on that very proposal. Senator Blumenthal, welcome to On Point. Good to talk to you.
Wonderful to be with you, Nancy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So help us understand where this stands right now. Senator Lindsey Graham, the chair of your committee, the Judiciary Committee, says he has reached some kind of deal with you. Where are you on crafting this legislation, and what exactly would it do?
We're very, very close to introducing this legislation when we come back to Washington in September. We are working through some of the final language on a measure that essentially would provide grants and incentives to states to follow the lead of Connecticut and 16 other states that already have these statutes on their books. And by the way, they are working to save lives because they enable law enforcement officers and others to go to court, get a warrant, much like a search warrant or an arrest warrant, on a showing that there are facts that a person is dangerous to himself, herself, or others. And that means, for example, domestic dispute situations where an estranged husband or an intimate partner is about to kill somebody. It means a suicide threat. It means a threat of a mass shooting where a judge, as in Parkland, could have stopped very likely if the FBI had this resource at the time. Florida has since passed such a statute. And then there's a due process, a review period, where there can be a hearing. And if there's a mistake in the presentation of alleged facts, the order can be withdrawn. So there's due process, fairness to everyone. But saving lives is so important by keeping guns out of the hands of people who are dangerous to themselves or others. That's the basic principle. And I think it has to be part of a comprehensive solution here. Alone, it may be important, but it's completely insufficient. We do need background checks. We need safe storage laws, a ban on assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, and better research, and eliminating the sweetheart deal that gives immunity to gun manufacturers. There's no single panacea.
But there's no indication that you're going to get all of those other things that you're listing, correct? Has Chairman Graham expressed interest in all those other measures?
Chairman Graham is focused with me on this measure that clearly will help save lives. And I think there's growing bipartisan support for it, by the way, among the senators, for example, from Florida. Rick Scott and Marco Rubio are supporters of this kind of red flag or emergency risk protection order statute. Could be very, very important if it is adopted by all 50 states. Right now, there are only 17.
There's a big variety in these red flag laws across the country, isn't there? I mean, in some states, you've had hundreds of guns confiscated from people who were deemed to be a threat to themselves or to others. And in some states, almost no one, partly because it's onerous for the legal system and for law enforcement, and partly because there's a lot of disagreement about, you know, how you identify who might be a threat. So would your legislation influence the states and tell them what kind of red flag law you're looking for, or do you leave that up to each individual state?
That is a great question. And actually, there is more in common among these red flag statutes in those 17 states than there are differences. There are slight variations in the burden of proof. I'm a former trial lawyer and a prosecutor for most of my career, so I could spend the rest of the day talking about those differences. But there is a lot of commonality in the factual showing that has to be made to take a gun away. There may be differences in the time periods for the next hearing, the due process hearing, a week, 3 weeks. But what is needed, and this point goes to your question, is more education about how the process can and should work. Education for law enforcement about how they can use this statute, how they can react to threats like the shooter in Parkland who called the FBI, called the local police, and they were, in a sense, powerless to take that gun away because they had no red flag statute. and making use of it so that it is used more commonly and fairly and effectively. In Connecticut, let's just take this brief history. Our statute was the first. It was adopted after a 1999 mass shooting, and in the first years, it was used relatively infrequently. Now it's used more than 200 times a year. Just within the past week, it has been used twice when there was a threat of a mass shooting, but it's also used in cases of suicide where mental health is part of the solution. And in a very substantial number of cases, again, with the right education and training, judges can say to the individual who's threatened to kill himself or others, you know, before you get your gun back, maybe you should talk to somebody with professional training about why you feel so angry. Using the statute in an intelligent and effective way is very important.
Senator, we've got a bunch of callers with questions for you, as you can imagine. So I want to go to one of them now, and it's Naylor from Huxley, Iowa. Hi, Naylor.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What's your question?
Well, there's a couple things I'd like to cover, if possible. First thing, I do notice he brought up the red flag that was brought up in 1999. I would like to point out that, according to the CDC, only 1.6% of suicides had been prevented by this statute, and many of those individuals went on to find another way to carry out what they had planned on doing. So it is a good idea and has been relatively effective, but I would question whether or not that is a gold standard which we wish to follow. The second thing I would like to at least address is that as of 2017, there were 40,000 deaths by firearm in the country. Out of those 40,000, 23,000 of those were suicides. So in perspective, for every 100,000 people in the country, 12 people died by firearm. Out of those 12, 7 were suicides. And as well as a magazine restriction or banning things on appearance. In 2013, Colorado put out a magazine restriction. Every sheriff's county or every sheriff in the state, except for Denver, have said that this is unenforceable. We can't do it. We won't do it. And Magpul, the manufacturer of standard 30-round capacity magazines, even had to leave the state and go to Texas because of this.
Right. Naylor, let's stick with red flag laws for starters. And Senator, what about the notion that he's talking about, which is that with red flag laws, you're really hunting and pecking for violent individuals, and you're really not going to decrease that many gun deaths?
I'm a law enforcement guy, and I think that the best laws are dead letter if they're not enforced effectively and intelligently. So just putting the law on the books is not the answer. Law enforcement has to be trained, and they have to have the will as well as the capacity to use them. And we've seen increasing use of them in Connecticut. Now, whether it's 1.6 or 10% or 30%, if we save one life, it's a major accomplishment. And these red flag or emergency risk protection orders are not the answer to suicide alone. Mental health and greater availability of treatment is absolutely essential, and it has to work in combination with random guns less available, as in background checks and use of protective orders. So we're talking about a step, an important step, and in my view, a necessary step. And so far as the other issues raised by the caller, high-capacity magazines have enabled many of the mass shootings that we've seen, whether they're 100 rounds or 30 rounds. We know from the experience in Sandy Hook, we know from Charleston and Sutherland Springs and Las Vegas, and you can go down the list, that many of those mass killings were enabled by high-capacity magazines. Again, enforceability is a challenge.
And, Senator, I only have about a minute with you left, but in that time, explain to us where you think the president is on your legislation and whether you think really the window for getting this done is September and October, and after that everyone's focused on 2020 and retreating to their corners and nothing can get done.
I can speak only for myself, which is I am determined to work as hard and long as possible. I have no way of knowing what is happening inside the president's head. I'll believe it when I see it. If he says he's for greater measures to assure gun safety, he's backtracked a little bit over the weekend. But I do believe that Lindsey Graham is sincere, and he's been a great partner in this effort to try to achieve bipartisan support for an emergency risk protection order statute.
Well, Senator Blumenthal of Connecticut, I thank you so much for joining us. Cassandra Crafazzi from Johns Hopkins, please stick with us. I'm Nancy Cordes, and you're listening to On Point.